Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, my friends, to another recording session of Freedom Law School Freedom Hour. Sorry to keep you guys waiting, folks. I'm going to be making a couple more last-minute preparations for tonight's topic. Now, tonight's topic is a little bit different because it's not going to be on the topic of income tax. It's going to be on the topic of wagering. Now, I know most people, if you don't gamble, I don't gamble. Like, I don't even like gambling. I like to know things that are certain. So that's not exactly not my thing. But I figured that, well, it's a question that comes up every time I talk about this up here and there. It does come. One moment, please, guys. Let me get this move here, guys. If I could, a little closer to me because it wasn't working over there. Here we go. All right. I think that would work better. There we go. because it does come up here and there, people wonder about, you know, the gambling tax. And it's summertime. Summertime is not exactly tax season. Things are slower compared to January through April. And so because of that, less people are watching these presentations. And so I'll cover the more, the less common questions during this time of year. So you're going to see me from now on at this point to cover the less common questions that come up. That's Congress. So gambling is one of them. Does it come up that often? But it comes up sufficiently enough that it needs to be covered. And the good thing about this issue is that it's simple. It is not as complex as some of the other things that we covered. It's not going to be a complex topic. You'd be pleasantly surprised how simple this issue is. So I'm going to talk about the code, Internal Revenue Code, as always, because that is where the source of the law is. And then I'll be going after that to the Supreme Court cases that apply, because Supreme Court, as you know, is a source of interpreting the law, which is sometimes questioned by people. Well, how do you read the law this way? It should be read the other way. Well, here, I'm going to help you understand the law from the source that apply. So give me one of those books. I'm going to give that. I got to get these two more cases up. And I think we'll be ready to go after that. Now, by the way, if you have not become a subscriber to our channel, you can do that. However, I want you to know that the most important thing you could do is to take yourself through this first 7 steps. the first 7 steps of on our website. So that will really guide you through to success that you want and need. Sorry, folks, I got a little throat condition tonight. I don't know why. My voice may be a little bit gone tonight, so please forgive me for my not-so-good sound tonight. Okay? So let me put this stuff in order. Okay. Okay, I think I'm almost ready to go, folks. Okay. Okay. All right, guys. You guys almost all ready? You guys all ready back there? All right. Whenever you guys ready back there, I can get going and get started. I'm a little bit off, so you know that, right? Yeah. Because the camera is not quite centered. It's got a little bit of angle. It's not straight, but that's okay. No problem.
Let's do it. In 3, 2.
Here we go. Let's do it. Hello, my friends. Are you wondering whether your gambling or lottery winnings are subject to federal income tax or wagering tax? Well, if so, how little that could be, I'll give that answer. No, let's try again. Let's try again. Okay. Let's do that. Let's do that. Well, hold on. You know, I gotta get this video up. Hold on, I gotta do the video on. I gotta do the video. I just realized that. On that's fine. No, I can do that. Okay, let's get started.
Hey,
yep.
Did you want to do? And it's just a reminder. We have the small little article that was brought to you today that you wanted to cover.
Next time. Late right now, I'm afraid. Okay. All right. Let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, my friends. I'm going to talk to you about gambling and lottery winnings. Are they subject to the income tax? If so, how little do you have to pay by law on government's official legal websites? You'll be amazed about the great results, how little you have to pay less than you realize, folks. So hang in there. I am Peyman Mutahide, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. Our website is livefreenow.org. livefreenow.org. Let's go to my screen, folks. I'm going to show you the law from the source. It's going to be easy for you to follow. Here it is. This is uscode.house.gov. You can look it up yourself. It's from the U.S. House of Representatives Office of the Law Revision Council at United States Code, as it tells you right there. So it tells you in plain language that the United States Code is a consolidation and codification by subject matter of the general and permanent laws of the United States, and it is prepared by the Office of the Law Revision Council of the United States House of Representatives. This is the official direct source of the law. There are 54 categories of federal law that they show you. For example, Title II is on Congress, Title III is on President, and Title VI is on Domestic Security, Title X is on Forces. We go down to Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. This is federal tax laws. And the paper version of it is right here. This is one of my two personal copies of the Internal Revenue Code, which is no longer published by anybody. Everything is online these days. Okay. And this gobbledygook, big fake book, as you can see, is with tissue thin paper, tiny font, very specific definitions you have to go by. So we're going to look into those right now. Okay. So here we go, folks. You see here we got in on the top center, it says Title 26. You see that? Right here. 26 USC. USC stands for United States Code, Chapter 35, Taxes on Wagering. Again, from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. And this is Chapter 35, Taxes on Wagering. And you notice that here in this subchapter, Tax on Wagers, is Section 4401. Let's look it up, what it says. Section 4401, there it is. Again, this is from, as you can see, tells you, Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. Section, no, here we go, Bob, you see this tax and wagers. 4401 is imposition of tax, right? We're going to go look at 4400 or territorial extent of the tax. So here it is, imposition of tax on wagers, okay? It tells you state-authorized wagers. The state shall be, the shall be imposed on any wager authorized under law of the state in which accepted an excise tax equal to 0.25% of the amount of such wager. And for unauthorized wagers, it says there shall be imposed on any wager not described in paragraph 1 an excise tax equal to 2% of the amount of such wage. So, folks, this is well known. This is a law. You know that the wagering tax is based upon. Now, let's go down to see where it applies. You know, territorial extent of the tax, because that's very important. Where does it apply? See, all these sections are all listed here, okay? So we're going to go to 4404. This is going to be surprising to you, but hang in there. You will love it. The tax imposed by this subchapter shall apply only to wagers. Ah, look at this. Accepted in the United States or placed by a person who is in the United States with a person who is a citizen or resident of the United States or in a waging pool or lottery conducted by a person who is a citizen or resident of the United States. See, folks, there's a very specific definition in law about these terms, right? But the key word is United States. What does the term United States mean? Well, that's in the law also. We'll look it up for ourselves right now. Here we are, section 26 U.S.C. 7701 definitions from the Internal Revenue Code again. And this whole chapter 79 is entirely on definitions of a lot of things that are commonly known, right? When used in this title, right? They define all kind of stuff like person, partnership or partner. I mean, you don't need to define these things, but Congress wants to make sure they define everything very specifically and clearly, you know, corporation, domestic. Let's go to United States and state A9 and A10. There it is. Well, look at this. Look at that, folks. The term United States. You ready? This is a good part. Check this out. When used in a geographical sense, because that's what we want to know, it includes only the states and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. Well, how about the term state? Well, the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title. So we have here District of Columbia plus the Columbia. What do you get? The same. It's still all only District of Columbia. Isn't that amazing? That blows you away, doesn't it? Because now if we look at the law with this specific definition in mind, what do we see? Well, we see that we were deceived, okay, on the territorial extent of the tax. Because now it means the tax imposed, okay, by the subchapter shall apply to wages accepted in the District of Columbia or placed by a person who is in the District of Columbia with a person who is a citizen or resident of the District of Columbia or in a waging pool or lottery conducted by a person who is a citizen or resident of the District of Columbia. Wow. Pretty amazing, huh? Shocking, huh? Look at it again, folks. Here is the definition, folks. I didn't make it up. The United States is District of Columbia, okay? And District of Columbia and state is also District of Columbia. I think, come on, Paymon. Everybody knows the 50 states are automatically included. Not so. Not according to the U.S. Supreme Court in this case of Nice versus Keene in 1987. Here's what the U.S. Supreme Court in this court case said. Okay, you're going to love this, okay? And by the way, all this is on our website at livefreedom.org for free for everybody to read and check out for themselves, okay? It is axiomatic, self-evident, that the statutory definition of the term, a definition in a statute or law made by a legislature, excludes unstated meanings of that term. So something that's not there, it's not there. You got to assume something is there when it's not there. Okay? And as judges and people, folks, it is our duty to construe, understand, or interpret legislation or laws as it is written. Not as it may be read by a layman, the average person, or as it might be understood by someone who has not even read it, which is you. What you think doesn't matter. What the Supreme Court says, that matters. Okay? It is obvious, obvious that something is not there. It's not there. Now, if you have doubts about this, folks, look at this other Supreme Court. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go a little bit further about this issue. This is in our petition to Congress, by the way. This is the Supreme Court of Fox versus Stan Oil Company of New Jersey, 1935. The term United States, folks, you think United States means the 50 states only? No. Supreme Court says it means three different things. Yeah, it could be any one of the three. This is important that you get this. So in this case, the relevant page, okay, here's what it says on page 96. Definition by the average man or even by ordinary dictionary, okay, is not a substitute for definition set before us by the lawmakers. Yeah. See, we've got to go by definition that the lawmakers give us, okay? There would be little use in such a glossary of terms if we were free, despite of it, to choose a meaning for ourselves. We got to go by definitions that they give us, folks. That's critical, okay? And Gould versus Gould, this other case, in 1917, takes us one step further, okay, about these, the issue of taxing power of the federal government. It tells us that the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, levying taxes, imposing taxes. So, in understanding laws that impose taxes, it is the established rule not to extend the provisions of tax laws by implication. There is no tax by implying, assuming the 50 states are there. It's not there. There's no thing by implication beyond the clear import of the language used or to enlarge the operation of the tax laws so as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. Yep. If something is not specifically pointed out, it's not there. You cannot have it by implication, by implying, the 50 states are not here in definition of the term United States in Section 7701. The term state also, it doesn't include any more than the District of Columbia. You can't assume California, New York, and Texas are in there because it's not stated. It's that simple, folks. These court cases are very, very, very important for you to go by. And the court continues. In case of doubt, the tax laws, are construed most strongly against the government and in favor of the citizen. That's right. The laws are construed or interpreted most strongly against the government, power to tax, and in favor of the citizen. This is the established rule by U.S. Supreme Court in its 9-0 case. So when you see that the wagering tax applies only, here we go, territory to the United States, which means District of Columbia, yes, it is District of Columbia that the wagering tax applies, not the 50 states. We got to go to that, folks. Yep. Now, I know that sounds amazing to you, but these definitions also apply to the income tax. You don't have to pay income tax on the wagering tax at all. See, the wagering tax, I just read to you, but they charge 0.25%, does not apply except to District of Columbia, as you read. It does not apply to your gambling winnings in Las Vegas or, you know, Atlantic City or any place within the 50 states at all. It applied always only to the District of Columbia in the ways listed here in Section 4404 of the Internal Revenue Code. You've been deceived. You've been had. They made you think you have to pay income tax on wages. You don't. Because let me tell you, in other videos I cover, how even a regular income tax does not apply to the people of the 50 states like you. I know that's amazing to you, but look at this, folks. You go to our website, livefreenow.org. I will show you how you can take the 7 steps below to live free of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery now. Step 1 is that based on U.S. government's official legal websites, like I showed you, folks, right? There is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file a paying income tax. Yep. Just like I showed you from the website, from here we go, uscode.house.gov. Yes, I show you from United States Code what I claim on our website. And to see the proof, watch this short 10-minute video and start your journey to freedom from IRS deception and robbery, slavery now. You click on this short minute, folks. This is very short, this video, okay? And I go over the IRS's website. Yes, it's my IRS's website. You know, the 1040 tax form, 1040 instructions. I also go over the federal, you know, instruction of 1040 form. There it is. I go over the United States Treasury regulation, as you see, sections. And this video will put you on other videos that will further educate you on this issue. By law, you have to pay zero taxes on your wagering tax unless you are from the District of Columbia. No wagering tax, no income tax. I know this is shocking to you. I know I was shocked too the first time I heard this. I said, what? You mean lie to the whole nation, the American people? Are you kidding me? Yes. How many lies has the major media told you about? Right? Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Trump, Russia, conspiracy, hoax. Right? How many of the lies? You know, a lot of them. Some of the stuff, if I tell you, I would be censored on YouTube. I cannot tell you, but you know what I'm talking about. The income tax hoax is the biggest hoax of all. You've been enslaved through deception, not force. They deceived you into believing you are required to pay income tax. Into believing you are paying wagering tax. You're none of that, my friend. So, recognize that you found what you're looking for, my friend. Yes. You're looking for freedom and truth. You found it. Congratulations. Continue on your journey, my friends. Truth and freedom at livefreenow.org. And our website, folks, This is the place where you want to start living your life free from now on and help America become a free country again. Go there and start living a free life now. Okay. All right. Let's go to your questions, folks. Some of you may not have a question. Some of you do. But I answer any and all questions that people have every Thursday night. I have a couple of people with questions also that will answer them. But put the call number on the screen, guys. I'll be taking questions live for free, folks, because I'm very busy. I normally charge $600 an hour for my time because I'm so busy. But here, I want to help you guys all for free. Okay? So take advantage of it, folks. Call in the number, the call number. Area code 657-383-1755. Push 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will let us know you have a question, and I will take your questions one person at a time. Okay, we have callers from what area code, guys? Give me the area codes, please. I'll make a list of them. 928, anybody else? Another one for 347. Is that it? Okay. Now, to protect your privacy, do not give me your last name. So give me your first name, how you heard about your law school, and then your question, please. Call from area code 928. You are first.
Hi, my name is Jeannie, and I'm calling with a question that isn't related to income tax and lottery winnings. It's a question about a friend of mine told me about your website.
Okay. Go ahead.
The question I have is, do you know or do you know anyone who can provide information about how we can erase or expunge personal debt, mortgages, credit card debt, considering the illegal nature of debt itself?
Well, the answer is no, because debt is not illegal by its name. I mean, you borrow something from your friend $1,000, you have to give it back. You borrow from $1,000 for strangers a debt, you have to pay it back. You agree to pay him 5% interest or 10%, he agreed to do that. So there's nothing wrong with debt. We all go into debt with each other. But the bank debt, all of the banking system is based upon fraud. It's a scam. What the banks do, make money out of air. The Federal Reserve is a collection of cartel of big banks that own the New York Federal Reserve, that they make money out of thin air and lend it at interest to the federal government. Yes, I realize that. That's the case. And I know how they make money by National Reserve Bank and the banks. I'm an economics guy myself. I got my degree in business from the California State University in 1989, focusing, 87, on finance and economics. So I know about the Federal Reserve. But they do that fraud because they bought off the congressman back in 1913 to give him that privilege. You and I cannot do that. So no, I'm afraid there is no way to simply expunge a debt. Sorry, I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't.
Okay, thank you.
What I could recommend you is this, Jeannie. Do you file income tax?
Excuse me?
Do you file and pay federal income taxes?
It depends on the year.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why do you need to know that? What is the question?
Because you don't have to pay federal income tax at all. So with the money you don't pay to the IRS, you can pay off your debts. That's the easiest solution.
Why are you laughing? Okay. No, I'm asking because the person who wanted to know the answer to the question is working today and couldn't make the call. So she asked me to ask the question on her behalf. and the principle of the banks loaning credit card on false premises, that they don't have the money actually in the bank. She had heard that that was a loophole, that it was illegal, and that there she did know people who had expunged their credit card debt in the past. But it's been a long time. She couldn't remember how, and she thought you might be able to help find a resource to help her with that.
I've seen people try to do that stuff and gone to prison for that fraudulent activity. Just because the Federal Reserve and the big bank, Chase Bank of America, they're criminals, they do fraud, doesn't mean you can do the same fraud as them. Okay? And so what I'm telling you is your friend did your favor, got you to our Freedom Hour, and got you to see this. You know, there is no, based on U.S. government's official legal websites, not my opinion, I'll show you the government's official legal websites, there is no law requiring you, 99% of Americans, to file income tax. It's a deception.
Yeah, I knew that. That's not news. But
great.
It's great to know that you're out there helping people to get that.
Thank you. So your friend, the best solution for them is right looking for a pie in the sky that doesn't exist. And people say all kind of nonsense out there. Believe me, for 30 years I've done this. All this hair was black when I started doing this stuff. 30 years ago. I've seen people try to look for this magic bullet, silver bullet stuff like your friend's looking for. Just saw them up, make all the debts of the credit cards go away, but you can't do that. And the stories that are hearing are either false, or they got lucky, they slipped through the cracks, okay, or they misinterpret things. Just because the credit card company left them alone doesn't mean they wrote it off.
Right.
So a lot of that goes that people misunderstand things, and I don't want to see anybody get in trouble. I've seen it over the years, okay, people promoting this stuff. The promoters get in trouble. So with that, thank you for your call, Jeannie. Anything else I can help you with?
No, but thank you so much. I appreciate your candor.
You're welcome, Jeannie. My pleasure. Let's go to the call from area code 347, your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Many years, this is Fred. Regarding the wagering, the state, I believe, gives a W-9, and it seems to bring you back to that. And on the W-9, it makes references to U.S. persons, so it falls in alignment with what you were saying. But are you going to do a piece on the W-9 on how to properly address that?
Did we do one on W-9? I know we did it on 1099. I think I did do one on W-9 form. No, we got. I plan on doing one on W-9 form. Thanks for reminding me. Let's do one for next week, guys. Upcoming weeks on W-9 form. I've not addressed that. And the U.S. person thing, very specifically, I will definitely do that because you are not, my friend, a U.S. person, unless you are a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C., which you're not. So you're not a U.S. person. The W-9 form is not for you. The 1099 form is not for you, neither the 1040 form. You're right. So I will cover that in upcoming Freedom Hour. Good question.
One other thing I want to add too.
But with gambling, I understand that they withhold from you not a W-9. What they do, I'm told, I have to research it, that they withhold some money from you and issue a 1099 on you or something like that. A W-2D, okay. Yeah, they do some kind of a W-2 on you. So they don't do no W-9 on a wagering anyways.
I thought they would ask for that in order to acquire your information, you know, because of it's like certain companies that a person would be an affiliate or who would actually operate as an affiliate, they would issue them a W-9 or W-8.
No. A wagering is not affiliate at all. Gambling is not affiliate at all. What they ask you is something they'll issue something equivalent to W-4, not affiliate thing, like a 1099 independent contract. It's not like that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Payman.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Fred. Do you have any more callers, or should I go to people who send us questions by mail? Another call from America 928. All right, my friend, what is your first name? How you heard about us? And then your question, please.
Hi, I guess you're calling 928-284-0953.
That's you. What's your first
name? Okay, it's Arlene. I heard about you from Barbie Anderson. I listened and I've been reading and talking to some of your affiliates and people, very lovely people. I hope to God that my husband will go along with not paying taxes for this past year. We put an extension in and get educated, but we'll see. I want to gather as much information as I can so we have the confidence not to pay this year. And it all makes sense. I have two questions. One is, we took everything out of the stock market and transferred it to to metals that we possess, and they're
mm-hmm.
asking us to take a distribution. And I was just wondering if I just ignore that, because that would be the distribution would have to be put on our income tax if we did that. But if we're not doing income tax, we just ignore it. The firm that sent us the request to do that.
Okay. Sound like you're retired. How old are you?
I am going to be 80 in September.
And your husband is?
He's 82.
Okay. So, bottom line is, you could take that money out anytime, as much as you want to or not, because
mm-hmm.
the entire income tax system does not apply to you. Let me ask you, are you a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C.?
No, I'm not.
How about your husband?
No.
Then you don't have to play by any of these rules and games any more than you have to pay income tax and pay by rules of income tax in Egypt, France, or Japan. They're as foreign to you as government of Washington, D.C., United States.
Could you just repeat that one more time? There was a click on the phone.
Sure. What state are you from?
I'm sorry?
What state are you from?
Arizona.
Okay. The country of Arizona, where you live, is
mm-hmm.
just as foreign, Arlene, to the federal government and District of Columbia
mm-hmm.
as is the French, Egypt, or Japan. You don't have,
mm-hmm.
do not have to go by any tax law or regulations of Egypt, France, or Japan. Or
mm-hmm.
the United States government of Washington, D.C. None of that applies to you at all in the first place. You can take the money
okay.
in, out, or leave it there as you please.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was the answer. I knew that was the answer, actually. But I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. I have another question if you have time.
Sure.
Last year, I wanted to get out of the crypto market and couldn't. I wasn't feeling well. I actually had COVID and was whatever. Anyway, just emotionally and physically, and used the wrong authenticator. Couldn't get money out of the Exodus account to go to the Coinbase account. So I said, you know what, I might as well just, and nobody was that had any savvy could help me at that time. So I said, I'll call a technician and, you know, have him just transfer it. He said to me, well, instead of that, I will just put it on my thumb drive and switch it over to Coinbase. Okay. I get the invoice, and he's charging me 20% capital gains on the transfer, plus the Coinbase fees.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to my accountant. He said it doesn't sound kosher. It didn't sound kosher to me immediately. He ended up doing 15%. I shouldn't have paid any of it, I'm imagining, because no accountant that's been involved with taxes had said that there was any precedent or anything. How would he know what I paid for it? How would he know what I sold it for? You know, well, he knows what I sold it for. You know, how could he even collect that money? And it was a sizable amount of money. So I was just wondering, is any precedent that you know of?
You're ripped off.
I know. I was scammed.
Yeah.
How would you? How would
that? Oh, everything that you made on crypto had zero cost basis, and I have to pay income tax on that because I cannot show that how much that cost me. So I have to pay capital gains on the entire value of the crypto. That's where he's coming from, which is nonsense. He's using that excuse to rip you off. So
oh, I know he scammed me. I knew it. I knew it. And every accountant I spoke to.
Have him put it back to Exodus accounts.
Excuse me?
Have him put the crypto back in your Exodus wallet. And then become a Restore Freedom Plan member of Freedom Law School, and we'll assist mm-hmm. you properly, put you in touch with some trustworthy, honest people that will help you with whatever you want to do with that crypto as you want to do.
I haven't done anything with him. I was going to write a letter. I was going to go to a lawyer who was interested in finding out from tax accountants, you know, what the precedents are. But then I wasn't feeling well, so I couldn't deal with it. You know, it was just too much. But so you mean I'll ask him to sell that back to me at the price that I sent it for? That he bought it from me from?
Yeah. However number of Bitcoin, crypto, whatever you gave him, let's say you sold him 2.14 crypto, have him give you 2.14 crypto back, minus a tiny amount of the switching from your Exodus wallet to his Coinbase back to your Exodus wallet. That's all. Let's reverse everything.
But right now, the cryptos are worth much less than it was when I sold it to him.
He'll give it to you crypto. Did he give you cash?
No. He just took my thumb drive. I gave him my code. He went into my account, and he put it on his thumb drive, and he said he was going to sell it to transfer to Coinbase, and he charged me the fees to go to Coinbase.
He put your crypto into his own personal account.
Right.
So tell him to put it back. Tell him you changed your mind.
This is
almost a year ago.
He will not give you dollar to the dollar. He gave you an amount of crypto. Whatever that crypto amount was, he gave that crypto amount. Not by dollar value. No. Not by dollar value, but how much crypto units it was, like Bitcoin. Okay.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, there was Bitcoin and Ethereum and, you know, a couple of others.
Okay.
So should I do it in a form of a letter?
Call him. Why don't you call
him?
Yeah, just said, hey, I changed my mind. Give me the same amount of the crypto I gave you, give it back. Because he's giving you nothing for it, has he? Is that not giving you cash or gold or anything else for it right now?
No, no, he gave me the check. He gave me the check minus the Coinbase fees. I sent you a copy of the invoice that he sent me.
Send the check back. That changed my mind.
He gave me the dollar amount less 15% capital gains less the charges from Coinbase of what the cryptos were worth. What I'd like back is the capital gains back.
Money back. Give his money back to him.
Give the money back to him?
Yep. I want my crypto back.
Oh, ask him for the cryptos back.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm not sure I understand that. I accepted his check.
Hold on. Look, I'm not a crypto technician.
I understand that, but I know you know so much about all this.
I'll give you a referral. I'll call our office tomorrow. I'll give you a referral to an honest person who will explain things to you. Help you take the time.
Okay.
And the commission in more detail. Tomorrow, and I'll give you someone's phone number who will assist you, help you understand what happened here and how to fix it.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye. Do we have any more callers right now, guys? That's it. We have also one other person with a question about Offshore Limited Liability Company. And he went to his website about Seashells Limited Liability Company, LLC. Seashells is a tiny little country in the Indian Ocean. Okay? And so they have very liberal, easygoing registration and requirements to create an entity there. And if you want to put money in an account like that, fine, but I don't see a need. Why would you want to go through all the expenses to do that? You don't need to take your money offshore because there's expenses involved in creating these entities, maintaining them, annual fees. What for? You don't need to be offshore at all. Right here, you are outside of Washington, D.C., United States. You don't need to go to Seychelles or Cayman Islands or Turks and Caicos or Bahamas, any of these tax havens. America is a tax haven itself. The 50 states are a tax haven for everybody. Okay? Because you're not part of United States, Washington, D.C. The critical thing you guys got to understand is right here on the definitions of the terms. Look, here it is by law. In the Internal Revenue Code, this is critical. Here it is from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Federal Tax Laws, the chapter on definitions, right? It tells you right there. When used in this title, what title? The Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws, right here. See that? Internal Revenue Code. This is the entire federal tax laws. The whole shebang. According to, this is the Bible of the IRS, the Internal Revenue Code. They define things in a very clear, specific way. And here it is. They define the term United States. All this that applies to United States people. United States, when used in the geographical sense, includes only the states and the District of Columbia. And the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia where such construction is necessary to carry out provisions of this title. Now, also, U.S. person is further down in A30. You see the word you take it out to A30, you'll see the word U.S. person. Here it is, folks. You think you are a United States person? You are not a United States person. Because the term United States person means a citizen or resident of the United States, which he is, District of Columbia. A citizen or resident of the District of Columbia. See, the word United States means District of Columbia. You've got to go by the specific definition they're getting. So you're not a United States person. Okay, you are a U.S. citizen. For nationality purposes, you are a U.S. citizen. So am I. State citizen and U.S. citizen all at the same time. But we're not U.S. person for the purposes of tax laws because they define things differently. In my videos on our YouTube channel, I show you videos that they define things in a very different way. It's like I'm going to show that to you a little bit because I think you guys will enjoy that. If you go to our front page of our website, livefrida.org, click on the video right there on the front page I told you, right? At the very end of it, folks, I'm going to take it to YouTube, okay? At the very end of the video, what it does, let me show you the small player. No, let's go a little bigger there. Ooh, how did I do that big? No, hold on. I got to make this big, guys, on that big screen. Here we go. Here we go. There it is. On the right side, you see this video there? Video number 3, the third one, is more proof that United States income tax laws includes only D.C., okay? I show you that many definitions of the Internal Revenue Code in this one from various federal laws. They all have their own specific definitions, okay? Different laws, different chapters have their own unique definitions. So this is on the wages, 3121. So we have to go by these definitions. They're a critical thing. You don't want to owe income tax at all in the first place. End of story. Take your time as you drive to and from work, shopping. Put your smartphone in your car's audio system or let it play. Listen to these videos, folks. Free yourself on your drive to and from work. That's how it for yourself. Then, at your lunch and dinner time, put your smartphone up and watch the videos. I know you're too busy to watch and just sit down and watch, so do it as you eat. Do it as you drive. For yourself. Okay? Then you'll be ready to continue. Go to the Fear Mosque's front page, our website, and you'll be ready to take the 7 steps below to live free of our deception, robbery, and slavery now. Step 1 is on the law, which I just showed you. Step 2 is realizing you hang yourself with those 1040 income tax confession forms. They're a trap. You put the rope around your neck. We fill out the rules set for your confession forms, okay? Step 3 is realizing that the IRS is not the most powerful government agency that can just hurt you if you do not file 1040 income tax confession traps. IRS is really the Wizard of Oz. Yes, IRS is truly the Wizard of Oz, okay? That's at the bottom of this cartoon. That's Freedom Lost to Me. Okay, educating, putting the curtain aside. You see what a scam and deception the IRS truly is for yourself. See that? Yep. And then step 4, you see IRS as a myth. Not a big Godzilla that will eat you alive. I've beaten them. So as our students have beaten the IRS. And so can you, my friends. Okay? You don't have to be afraid of these criminals and crooks are incompetent. Okay, step 5 is you ask your congressmen, lawmakers, okay, and make the law for the IRS to show you if you require a file of income tax. If they cannot show it to you, you can stop paying tribute to the criminals in the IRS. You don't have to pay them anything anymore. Yes, because those who pay tribute to the beast worship the beast. Who is your God? Who do you pay tribute to? The church? that you attend, or the satanic, it's really Satan. You decide by educating yourself. Okay? And then you'll be ready for step seven. Step seven, it will give you a 7-year $1 million guarantee. All you have to do is to lawfully stop filing and paying income tax with our Restore Freedom Plan. And Freedom Law School will keep the IRS from levying, take your money by force for 7 years for every single tax year. Or Freedom Law School will reimburse you up to $1 million for every year that you are with Freedom Law School and don't file and pay income tax criminals at all. You can drain the swamp of D.C. folks lawfully and safely with this beautiful ironclad guarantee. This is a 20-year-old program, folks. Yes, I've done this program for 20 years. So it's not something I came up with 2 months ago. And then step seven, you tell others about us and have others be free like you're going to be free, and you can get paid up to $5,000 for each American you're free. Okay? Just tell other people. Open your mouth. Pay your debts. Save money. Invest. Better home, better cars, better food, vacations, you know, whatever you want. It's your life. Do as you wish with it. You can give to your church, favorite organization, whatever you want to do. Take the seven steps, folks, and let's have you live a free life. And together, folks, we can have America be a free country once again. Remember, go to livefreenow.org now. Okay. I don't know. Maybe too much something. I don't know what. Onions? I don't know. I got to make sure I eat earlier. I got to communicate better with Carmen and my wife, make sure the dinner is early so I can eat early, get my voice chance to catch up. I'm not sure. Maybe the combination of wine, garlic, and onions made it worse. But remember that lady from the voice that told me that you should have like at least half hour, an hour before completely stop eating and your voice completely recovered, you know? And at least minimum half hour, I think she said. An hour would be better. But I gotta get back to that. So how many calls did we have, guys? Yeah, I'm sorry, how many viewers, I should say.
Oh, viewers.
Yeah.
Are we done?
Yes, we're done.
Oh, okay.
How many viewers?